live from Flemingsburg at Mandolin Farms, and from the band room, actually, which is behind the stage, which is going to be our future home of Bard's Nation, which is a big deal. And tonight we have Michelle with us. Hi, Michelle.
Good evening. It's good to be here.
Is Leah going to join us tonight?
She may. She may not. We'll find out. I hope so, because she's got a rockin' word of God for those
Patriots
bombs.
Well, one thing before we go, I'm going to do a quick call to our sponsors, and then we've got to make a recognition of somebody who passed away today, so it's pretty important. One of the things right now with the times that we're in, we're dealing with very uncertain times. As you very well know, today Iran attacked Israel, which seems to be about as well earned as it could come. But anyway, things are unsettling. There's going to be a lot of unexpected events that'll continue to unravel, I'm sure. Make sure you're well prepared. And part of that is My Patriot Supply. Right now they have the 1 week emergency food kit. It comes in an ammo can. It's sealed in the ammo can with its normal sealing, 25-year shelf life. This is a grab-and-go kit. They're fantastic. They're under $50. You need to get one for every member of your family. All you need to do is go to preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. My Patriot Supply is the number one supplier of emergency food in the nation. They've been a fantastic supporter of this channel, and their product quality is outstanding. So head on over to preparewithbards.com. Take advantage of this great offer. This is an important component to have in your kit. These are literally grab and goes. 1 week emergency food kits, get one for every member of your family and maybe get a couple of them for a couple of weeks worth of supplies. These are easy to eat meals, so ready to go. So again, preparewithbards.com for the 1 week emergency food kit. You will not be disappointed. You did, especially in this time in which we live, which is a little bit insane. I like a lot insane. Okay, before we get going, Michelle, you heard the news today, right, of Tiffany Punky?
Yeah, I did. It was heartbreaking, actually.
Let me just do something here real quick, because I'm having a really hard time hearing Michelle tonight. Well, Patriots, if you didn't hear, Tiffany, a.k.a. Punky Armad, lost her father this morning at 6:15 a.m. So, Michelle, you want to lead a prayer on that?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just ask that you wrap Tiffany and her entire family in your arms of love and comfort. It's never easy to lose a loved one, especially a parent. You're not supposed to have to go through that with someone so young like Tiffany has had to go through. So Lord God, we just thank you for the miraculous things that have happened leading up to the salvation of her dad and how Tiffany was able to be a huge part of that. So I just give you all glory, honor, and praise for a soul that has made it into the kingdom. And even though it is so awful to lose a loved one, knowing that they are with you and that we will get to spend eternity with them is priceless. It's something that, you know, one would give up their entire life for. So we just thank you for all that you're doing in Tiffany's life and her family's life. They've just made a move. So I just pray that in the midst of all of the chaos that Tiffany will find herself grounded and rooted in you. And she already is. And the text messages that I've gotten from her and the encouraging words, Lord God, I see you moving in her heart. And I just thank you for the soldier in Christ and the warrior for Christ that she is and the blessing that she is to Bard's Nation. And so collectively we come before you and as an entire family, we just lift her up in our arms and we wrap her in a hug that is spiritual in nature. And we know that, you know, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses and her dad is now a part of that. And we just say to her dad, we are so thankful for your daughter and for the blessing that she has been. And we're thankful for the blessing that you've been in her life and she's been in yours. And so Lord God, we just thank you for this time where we can come together and love on her and let Tiffany know that she's not alone. And I thank you that she isn't, that this family is united in Christ and united in love. And I just pray that as she lays her head on the pillow tonight, that she will feel the love of this family wrapping around her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But my Father, we just want to pray for Tiffany and the family just to heal those hearts that are burdened today with this difficult news of the loss of her father. And the father is young. with a young family that no longer has a grandfather as well. So, Father, we just pray a blessing upon that family. And in the void, just to be able to turn more deeply to you and to feel that emptiness with the love in Christ. These are difficult times. Just may the memories of joy feel overwhelm, and may the satisfaction of being able to bring her father to Jesus before he passed away be one that gives her great comfort in knowing that he will be there and forever live in eternity. So we just pray for this family. We pray for their move upcoming. We pray that this at this point is rather than a heavy burden is one that is seen as a transition, is stepping into something new and incredibly different and exciting. As difficult as that may seem at this time, these are new doorways that have been opened and that only you can open, Father. And we're in a time right now of incredible transitions. We just pray that that blessing will continue to follow them where they go, and that the memory of her father will inspire them to go to higher levels and achieve greater things. And we pray with all the love of Bard's nation into their family, knowing that we are standing with them and are here for them and anything they need. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's start with, I don't know, do we want to wait for, see if Leah's going to show up? Do we want to jump into this word on Israel?
Let's jump into it, man. I honestly, everybody knows Scott's stance on Israel. That's no secret. I mean, you've made no bones about it. What is God saying in this hour is lining up a lot with what Scott has been saying on this show. And I do not find it a coincidence. And Scott, you can get into the details of what's actually happened, but I don't find it a coincidence that this has happened the week of the eclipse at all.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, the eclipse has been an amazing event. And Israel has been baiting the world to be in a world war. They've been doing everything they can. And we, with our dual citizenship, Israeli-American Congress, which is like 60 or 70% of them, and most of them compromised by the largest child sex pedophile network in the world, all of them, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., have ridden on the Epstein flight to Epstein Island, whether they admit it or not. You're dealing with despicable people in our nation. And this is a time when we have churches that are literally out here waving the flag of Israel to try to tell them that, you know, to proclaim the greatness of killing and slaughtering Palestinians. Palestine is the largest concentration camp in the world, an active concentration camp with an ocean on one side and a fence around the other side. And what's not being reported is everyone's focusing on the Muslim side of this. And what's not being reported is the destruction of the Christian side of this, which is devastating. They have been slaughtering the Christians in that region. And the churches now, they say that the Christian churches in Palestine, which is the old Christian churches, have so few people left, they hardly have a voice. And this has been a strategic move by this Khazarian mafia, fake Jew group that's just nothing but satanic evil, to eliminate Christendom off of the face of the earth. So all of this said, it's been mounting with over 35,000 Palestinians dead, 13,000 plus children dead. This is an hour of judgment. I don't know how else to say it. We've been praying for judgment. Judgment's upon us. And part of this is that today Iran launched an attack on Israel. You're going to hear all sorts of people saying we need to rush to war. No, we don't. It's not our war. It is not one we should be involved in. It's the one that they wanted to bring on themselves. Let them burn, bottom line. And I'm serious about this. And this, in my opinion, is God's trap, or not God's trap, but God's judgment upon Israel. And I think, Leah, and I've been saying this is coming. You've heard me say this, that this is coming a time when the only way to solve the world's problems, and this goes completely against most mainstream churches, is to erase Israel off the map. Literally, erase it off the map. Because the country has gone to a place where it is mainly agnostic or atheist. They despise Christ as a whole. They have been manipulating the world to make them an untouchable class. And in the process, they have done everything they can to destroy other nations, including our own. And it is just part of a process of a cleansing that's going to have to happen. And quite frankly, it is time to see the world stand up and deal with this as a world problem, which is what Israel has become. Now, that has kind of a dual-edged sword to it, because when you go after Israel, it means you're also going to feel it here, because we are so intricately tied to that cabal, sadly. And unfortunately, our churches have been so deeply compromised and sold out. Schofield Bible, Kinsey, Margaret Sanger, all these things are part of this Jewish cabal's movement. And it's a Khazarian mafia movement to destroy this nation, destroy the family, weaken America, and use us as a cash cow to fund their illicit wars and their attempt to bring about a Jewish Zionist state on the entire globe. That is what their attempt is. So the bottom line is Iran has launched a massive cruise missile and missile strike against Israel. The Iron Dome is going to be, is, as they like to claim, has a limitation. And I will guarantee you Iran is going to push that limit to the Iron Dome where it will fail. And you will start to see a retribution of this that has been coming and has been brewing. And we as the United States, even if we wanted to help them, are so drained with all of our resources that went to Ukraine, there isn't much left for us to support Israel on. It is not our war. It is not our war. They wanted it. They should deliver and see the consequences. The easiest way to deal with Israel is to cut off our funding for it. Just cut it off. And when that funding goes away, Israel ceases to exist as it is right now. So I'm not one that finds empathy in this, especially with people that have literally chastised, beaten, harassed anybody going to Israel who speaks the word of Jesus. This has become a standard problem there. They have lost their way. And unfortunately for them, God will only move so far between before God drops the hammer. And in my opinion, God has dropped the hammer. And Michelle, I'll let you make some comments.
Is my mic any better now?
Yes.
Okay. I turned it up in Zoom. It was turned down.
Okay.
I guess my question really is for you, Scott, because you're far more versed in this region and in this entire situation even than I am. You're saying we shouldn't go to war with Israel. That, to me, goes without saying. My question is, will we?
No, I think that's a good question. They're going to try to draw us in. The one thing that's of benefit is that we have been drained so heavily in our military resources that it's going to be difficult. However, they knew this was coming. And the reason they knew this is coming is they've been doing recalls of veterans up to 15 years back.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been restocking the armed forces. And what it's going to come down to, quite frankly, is it's going to come down to seeing our military do what it must do. And unfortunately, a lot of people still don't see the way on this, but that means that they're going to have to, I'm going to encourage it. As much as this sounds crazy, I will encourage at this point in time between the COVID shot, which was run by a Jewish state attack on our military. Let's be clear. Borla is Jewish. All of the lead people that created the mRNA vaccine were given rewards by Netanyahu, okay, as the great development. That vaccine, which was pushed to us by and mandated in our military, which has completely compromised our military. And now this war and the Ukrainian issue, it is time to see mutiny within our ranks. We need to see soldiers stand up, challenge the command, overthrow, and put the military back in the hands of the people. It's that simple. Because we no longer have a military of and by and for the people. We have a military that's of a hand puppet of Mossad and other agencies around the globe that's being used for the tyranny of the globe and not being used for the defense of the United States. So I'm fed up with what I see in all of this, in what has happened to our military, what they have done to it, the leadership. They've destroyed soldiers' lives. They've destroyed families' lives. They have abused soldiers that refused to take the vax. They might as well have been the same as terrorists. They've treated them almost the same. And now they want us to go further and to give more of our blood onto a battlefield that isn't ours, with a military that has been systematically annihilating the Palestinians and has an idea that once they've slaughtered the red heifers, that they're going to tear down the existing mosque and lead us to a new era of the greatness of the Zionist state. I'm not playing. Let me just put it that way. And I don't think God is either. So I don't know. I mean, I think that they're going to do everything they can to draw us in. And here's the other part that is a little, this is concerning. You now are seeing a desperate, you're going to see a desperate act by a state. It's going to be in its heels very quickly. Israel knows that the Americans are waking up. The various Jewish leagues have spoken up about the fact that in the future generations, they are losing support with Americans. Thank God. And they are deeply concerned about this. They're in a crisis to try to race forward to build their Jewish state. By all indications, what they're planning on doing is building this new third temple and placing the global artificial intelligence system inside of that temple to house it and protect it under the temple's religious sanctity, I guess. And that will be part of the new global financial system, which will be in terms of what we would call the rise of the Antichrist. So this is time that we just kind of throw down as a nation. We have to throw down and say no more. And it is moving quickly because these are agendas to pit people against each other. And the only way through this is to stay out of these wars and work on fixing ourselves and starting to find love. But here's what you can expect, I think, in the bottom line of this, which is more troubling, is that as they try to draw us into yet another conflict, they already have positioned their asymmetric army, their guerrilla forces have already been positioned in our country. Remember, the Hebrew Institute has been a major part of drawing people into this nation and channeling them in here. So we are dealing with Mossad-type organizations that are funneling in the insurgents into our own border, most of them funded by our own money and funded by our own intelligence agencies to create war and havoc within our border. So you can expect some pretty major disruptions going forward here. And it's time, literally, that Americans stand up and start doing what we do so well, cleaning up our own mess. And we can do that. So that's kind of my answer.
So I've done a little audio adjusting because they were saying that I was now louder than you, but I'm not sure if that's just for the Rumble streamer on Podbean. So if we could get an audio level on both Podbean and Rumble, that would be excellent. Sure. My thoughts on this are so deep because we're always looking for the angle. The prophecy that hopefully Leo will come on and give in a little bit will help to settle some of that. We're always looking for the who's in charge, who's pulling the strings. Like, okay, if Iran is bombing Israel, then who's behind it? And is it the good guys? Is it the bad guys? In this instance, it would seem that this is God.
I would agree with that.
So it's not always, you know, the George Soroses, the Klaus Schwabs, the whatever name you want to put behind these jokers that think they rule the world. Sometimes it is just God, and we have to be able to, I want to bring the Holy Spirit into this situation. And Leah had said this earlier when she came to me and she told me that this had happened. She's like, we have to set aside everything that we've thought about this situation from both sides, because this is that serious, and only listen to Holy Spirit. And the significance and the timing of this, right? Like, I mean, I have a prophecy that literally says, you know, it goes from 2020 to 2024, and then it says, and then no more. Now, I don't think that means the end of the world. I mean, clearly you guys know my stance on that, but I do believe that it means the end of tyranny. And Israel has taken such a stance that everything in the world is somehow affected or controlled by or touched by the creation of the nation state of Israel.
Yes.
So if Israel is no more, what happens? What does that even look like? You know, and
set free.
And not just that, but like even from the Islamic side, if those holy places that are holy to both Jews and Israeli or and Muslims, if they're all gone, then where are we at? right? So we have to look at this from a broader perspective than just the standard, you know, even conspiracy theory angles that we've come at. The Holy Spirit is speaking something so loudly right now. And I think that the message is that the church is about to arise and become more relevant than Israel.
Let me jump in on that real quick, because one of the things that it's interesting in this process, I have had such a deep resistance to praying for Israel from the very beginning. And I've taken, as would be expected, a lot of body blows on that, because people are so programmed by this institutionalized church, which has sold its soul quite literally to trinkets of pennies and dimes. And it's been influenced by the Scofield Bible and the whole end of world prophecy, end of times prophecy. And yet everything in my body, every bit, and I can only say this is Holy Spirit, has said, do not. And I've kicked and screamed. I've said, I will pray for, if people want me to pray for holy sites, I'll do that. But not for the nation of Israel. Israel was created by the Rothschilds. And it doesn't make any sense the way we worship it, because our founding fathers called this country New Jerusalem. They considered this New Jerusalem. Israel did not exist as it exists today when this country was stood up. And that's one of those major glaring contradictions that people don't like to establish or kind of find the balance in, because there's this belief that since the Rothschilds bought the land, and this whole deep connection with, and it's here. When you start looking at this, you have to start looking into the Nazis. You have to start looking into, you have to go back to 1917. You have to look at the connections with the British and the Rothschilds. You have to start looking at the rise of the CIA. You have to start looking at Mossad. You have to start looking at all of these components are happening, and they're all interconnected. And that is the rot of this whole thing, is that this is all a false idol that's been put before us. And we're dealing with the powers in this world that have so much money, so much power and influence, let's put it that way, that they can use as their template the book of Revelation to try to provoke a belief and pacify the Christian church. Add to that the whole ideas of compromise with monies from government, from FEMA, from DHS, all these different monies that have come into the pulpit, including monies from the Catholic Church, which comes to not just Catholic organizations, but Protestant and churches as well. We have seen a complete sellout of the church. I mean, just look at how many, and sellout comes in multiple forms. We look at one form of the sellout of the church, which is literally the extreme of flying the LGBTQ six color rainbow flag on their grounds, which is just occupied territory. That's all that is. And then you just have the weakening of the pulpit, which is its inability to speak boldly against tyranny. We saw 400,000 churches close under COVID because they actually closed their doors, and thank God, literally, that they never reopened. And we still see a weakening of the pulpit. We see that the churches that are standing up are loud. You see them, they're growing, people are standing in there. But the churches that are sitting here waving the flag to encourage the destruction of an entire race of people, they are literally, these are pulpits of annihilation, pulpits of genocide. And God is not going to stand for this. And so we are in a point right now with this eclipse and everything moving forward. We are in my opinion, we have arrived at a judgment hour on this nation and in the world. And we are going to witness some very difficult things. And our hands are not clean, by the way. We killed something like 1 million kids in Iraq. And here's the one that'll blow you away, because I just got this statistic the other day. We all look at this war in Iraq and Iran as if we were fighting Muslims. Listen to this one. We killed 9 out of 10 Christians in Iraq. Now, that's sick.
It's
sick enough to have a war killing people.
Define
The ones that took some of the biggest blows by numbers and portions were the Christians, and it was intentional.
But you say we killed them.
United States policies in what we did in bombing campaigns and in executions of people over in that war, we annihilated 9 out of 10 Christians in Iraq.
That's amazing.
So here we have, which is ironic as well, the country that attacks Israel. The country that attacks Israel, Iran, today, has the fastest growing Christian population in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't make this up, right? Against a country that is literally openly saying that they don't, I mean, we've heard it too much now from the Zionist side of this, is that they don't believe in Jesus. I mean, so they had there was an interview the other day asking the guy if it's true in their books, if they believe Jesus is burning in a pot of, it was something horribly gross. I won't even get into it. And he said, yes. I mean, this is their belief of what Jesus is unbelievable to me.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about, right? Like, you were talking to a Jew the other day, an amazing man. And so there, it's like the state of Israel is specifically what we're referring to here tonight. Correct. Not Jews in general, right?
Right, but what he said to me, which is important, what he said to me was he accepted Jesus. Wow. And he can never go back.
Yeah, that's good.
Matter of fact, I'm on his program this week sometime.
The radio guy.
Yeah, the radio guy.
He's awesome.
On his radio program this week.
But what I'm saying is, you know, because we have friends that are Jewish, and they hold Jesus in a lot of reverence, as a lot of Muslims do as well. And so, what we're talking about here tonight, just to weed through this, because it's so intricately convoluted, and it's incestuously tied into the modern church in America and our government. And it was never designed to be that. And that is this idea that we have to pray for and support Israel because Israel is God's chosen people. And if you don't back and support Israel, then essentially you're blaspheming God. Just from, you know, Scott can bring the, you know, global perspective on this. Allow me to bring the biblical perspective on this, okay?
Sure.
God's people are you and me, okay? There was a divorce that happened. God said, I will issue them a bill of divorcement, okay? That's called the breaking from the old covenant to the new covenant, right? It broke God's heart that he had to do it, but he did it. So in order for people that are, if they can trace their bloodline back, whatever, okay. If they're a Hebrew, if they got Hebrew roots, literally, okay. In order for them to come to Jesus, or in order for them to get to the Father now, they can only go through Jesus. Now, this is going to turn a lot of people on your heads. They can't get to God but through Jesus. So if someone that is claiming to be a Hebrew or claiming to be Jewish, of Jewish descent, they may be praying to God, but they can't get to God. What, Leah? Okay. They can't get to God unless they go through Jesus. And this blows people's minds. They're like, no, but they know God. They really do. They know God. Well, their ancestors knew God, but they can't know him. Because the Bible tells us that the only way to the Father is through the Son, right? Yeah. So when we talk about God's chosen people, yes, they were God's chosen people. But then all throughout the whole Old Testament, all of the prophecies, it's in Psalms, it's in Isaiah, it's in Ezekiel, it's in all of the lesser prophets about how the Gentiles will come. I mean, this is mind-blowing to me. So when you look at Israel, and Leah's going to come on here in a second, I got to send her a new link. When you look at Israel and we want to say, yeah, but they're really God's special people, there's nothing more anti-biblical that you could say. Because there is nobody on this planet more special to God than you.
Well said.
All right. You don't, God doesn't play favorites. Now, that's not who he is. And to say so means you don't know God. And what is so heartbreaking to me, Scott, in all of this, is how many people that I love and respect. And if you're watching, please know that I still love and respect you. Pastors, leaders, ministers. They don't know. And why do they not know, Scott? Because they were raised under the modern end times theory that evolved out of the Scofield Reference Bible, where the root of the creation of the nation state of Israel even is. And we have been propagandized into believing this false theology of, Lee, I'm going to send it to you in a second, this false theology that says Israel first, us second. And I'll tell you right. why they get away with it and how they get away with it. Because as Christians, we are taught to prefer others. And so it goes in us to go, no, Israel first, Israel first. We want, because that's who we are, but that's not it. That's not what it means to prefer another. Because what that does is not only are you then preferring Israel over yourself, okay, fine, be self-sacrificial, but you're preferring Israel over others and telling others that they're less than Israel. You don't get to do that.
Yeah. Now, this is the timing of this, and you said it already, but I'm going to kind of get into it. The timing of this can't be missed. We live in a world right now where it really framed by trying to put events together in one kind of conspiratorial map, cause and effect. The Q movement has kind of masterminded this, you know, the plan thing, the idea behind it. But if you look at the events, I mean, this is Israel attacked Iran's embassy the other day, which is in itself, it's just unprecedented. And no one even blinked an eye at that, which is stunning to me, because that is the one space we operate our embassies all around the world. Every one of our embassies has a CIA detachment in it. Every one of our embassies has Marines in it. Every one of our embassies does intelligence collection and launches operations out of our embassy to do things in a country or cross borders to other countries. We do that. That is how an embassy works, whether you realize that or not. That is what we do. And other countries do the same. And part of that is each country uses its status as sovereign, because an embassy is sovereign land. So the American embassy in Russia is basically American land in Russia. It's an American space. It's sovereign. Israel's embassy here is the same. So Israel made a decision to attack Iran's embassy, and I think it was in Syria, just the last couple of weeks. That's a provocation on the same as if they had attacked Iran itself. And we don't react that way, because we are so controlled in our government anymore. We're so bought and sold that when someone attacks our embassy, we just do things like let the ambassador die of smoke inhalation and then be dragged out in the street and beat to death as our State Department races away across the border to Syria. True story. I mean, that's actually how that went down. And we don't provide support because Obama told them to stand down because they were trying to hide the missile production systems that the Clinton Foundation had set up there in Libya so that they could shuttle those missiles over into the Middle East. I mean, this is the dirtiness of this whole thing, right? But Israel decided to launch an attack on Iran's embassy. So to think that there wouldn't be a response to that is lunacy. And so Israel's looking for a fight. You're looking at somebody who has been trying to pick a fight. They're attacking the Palestinians. They're trying to draw people in, because ultimately I think what they're intending to do is to use this as justification to destroy the mosque and then slaughter the heifers, which I believe is now scheduled for the 18th or the 20th of this month. That's what we hear. So they can show the world the white marble slaughter ramp that will be covered in red blood as they burn these animals into burnt offerings. We don't do this anymore. That was the last sacrifice was Christ. So somehow in their mind, they're going to get closer to God in all of this. And that's just not going to happen. And so I would say, I mean, what I've been saying, and I've been, I mean, kind of where I've been led on this, I must say, is both my analysis and my sense in God is that Israel ultimately is going to be removed as we know it, as the country of Israel will be removed. Can you hear you?
It's because I'm talking to Leah, trying to get her on here.
Okay, got it. All right. So I'll just continue to talk. So that's that. So the, it's in the, when you look at the eclipse event this week, which was phenomenal, by the way, you're up at Harvest Revival Center with Pastor Neil Peterson, his church, fantastic, just outside of Dayton, Ohio. Incredible event. There are really no words. Yes, there is. There's one word to describe the event and the eclipse. And I prayed on it, and this is how I would describe it. It was agape. We literally lived through a moment of agape love in that moment of the eclipse for 3 minutes and 38 seconds or whatever it was. And it was incredible. You felt an immense calm and peace. You felt an immense presence. You felt the solidity of standing on the rock of faith. You felt the overwhelming sense of presence of God. And it's interesting because I heard somebody give testimony that they were a mile and a half away from totality. Now, why they didn't drive that a mile and a half, I don't know. And they talked about it with like anxiety and concern and anticipation and nervousness. And I'm like, man, that's weird because it was just the opposite where we were. So that is a massive shift. And there was gifts given in that time. And I think everybody that was there in totality received how that manifests, we'll see as time goes on. But it's truly an amazing experience that was there. And so to see this happen on the Sunday following, which is basically 6 days later, is no surprise. Or Saturday, I guess 5 days later. The Saturday following is no surprise that you finally, because these types of events shift, their title shifts in the global consciousness. And it and the easiest way to describe this, I think, was if you look at it like our hearts are all tied together. But this is one of these shifts. It's like realigning. And those that are in alignment with God draw closer and more comforting in him. And those that are not in alignment with God find themselves stretched farther from him, and agitation begins. And it's almost like you had strings on your heart that are now being pulled and torn from your heart. That type of shift is happening. And in that process, we're seeing this is one of the first major events where it's now provoking reactions in things and bringing to surface these sort of things that have been for lack of a better word, things is kind of collectively general, but nonetheless, I mean, it's just all of these emotions and these tensions and these hatreds and all of these things are now being forced into the surface. And with this has been a long brewing disgust with Israel. And like I said, don't think it won't hit home here, because it will. That I do anticipate. And I think it will be fairly brutal in certain areas, primarily the cities. I think it's going to be shocking. But I think with this is going to become a massive revival in our world of unprecedented kind. Oh. And it's going to be a revival because people are going to have only one place to turn. So I'll just kind of leave it with this. There's a, I'm trying to think who I was talking to the other day about, might've been Pastor Neil Peterson. We were talking about just foxholes. They say, you know, no one leaves. Yeah, it was him. He was talking about his deployment into Iraq and the moment that they got in there and they were having to wear mop outfits in the middle of like 120 degree day. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's the biological chemical outfit that you wear in case you're going to be under, like they were anticipating Saddam Hussein was going to release nerve agent. So this stuff is like a thick semi-carbon and rubbery surface material in a heat that you just sweat like crazy in it. They're not breathable and they're intended to absorb the chemical and prevent it from killing you. And then you're wearing a full mask and you're wearing heavy rubber gloves. This is what you're wearing in the middle of the desert. And he was talking about how they were down in a trench anticipating being hit with nerve agent. And a lot of these guys in there were not even and had come to Christ. And they just said, someone needs to pray. So he literally cracked his mask and he began praying. And by the time he got through, everybody had come to Christ. Okay. Like they say, no one leaves a foxhole as an atheist. This is where we're headed, in my opinion. We are headed to a point in time when people are going to be begging for God. And for those of us that are sitting here, I do believe that God has us tucked under his wing and he will say, hold fast, my children, keep your eyes on me, you'll be okay. But for those that are not there, this will be a shocking and unsettling moment as the realities of the world begin to unfold and the truth begins to be shown. And ultimately, and I'll just close with this and we're going to go to Leah. Ultimately, I think this is where we go. This is truly just as I keep seeing in the Holy Spirit, we are going to go through the gauntlet of fire to realize what our position in the world has been as a nation, not the good guys. We're going to see Israel as this current nation state of what it has been, and we will arrive at the truth and the horrors of what we have allowed and what has been done to the children of the world. And that is the breaking point I believe we hit at when people literally fall to their knees and begin to beg for forgiveness from God.
That's really good. Leah, are you there?
I am. I am here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
We can hear you. We can't see
awesome.
You,
we this has been really good. Chick. Scott got into his like Scott zone where you just kind of want to, sit back and go to sleep, you know. It's like just keep talking because whatever it is, it's God. Just, you know, it's just real. You got into the zone, the really good explanation of what's going on here. I'm not sure I'm going to be as eloquent and as what's his name, Harvey? What's his name that does the Paul Harvey? Yeah, you listen to his voice, you just turn him on and everybody just sits back and it's like your grandpa's in the room giving you all like the best advice in the world and you're just trying to take notes real quick.
You have to do this at the end of, this is Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yeah. yeah, so, you know, are we on Facebook?
We are not. I did that deliberately.
Good. Okay, so it's really crazy. I'm in my mom's room and I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a glutathione nebulizing treatment. Now, I am not your doctor and I'm not telling you to do anything. But I have discovered that, and this is off, you know, the record, but it does flow in, I guess, somehow. We discovered with mom with the mucus that nebulized NAC literally, and some people watching this might save your life. If you can get a doctor to prescribe to you these little vials of nebulized or of liquid and NAC,
acetylcysteine.
You are a person, yeah, and you are a person that gets constant mucus and it kind of scares you. Man, it just unplugs it real quick. But go easy, go easy. So I was trying to figure out if we could do this on our own, and I haven't been able to figure out. Like, I guess you can do NAC, but it has to have pH balance. So you kind of want to get the prescription kind. But other people and other doctors suggest glutathione. And I got it for my mom because it's going to supposedly help heal lungs, bring things out. And then I noticed that like all these alternative wellness centers, the kind that you go, you get the IVs, all the rich people go, you know, like where Joe Biden goes and Hillary Clinton goes when they just put in full of baby cells and stuff. They've been given all these glutathione nebulized treatments. So I'm like, oh, I'll try it. I want it. So I'm sitting there and Matt's like, hey, let's go get some grasses cut down. I'm like, I'm trying to take 10 years off my life. Just hold on. Okay. Or not. I'm trying
Excuse
to
me.
Oh,
try that one more know, time.
Could you? Okay. I'm trying to bring 10 years off where I've been. Okay. Try to be 10 years younger. Okay.
Please, Lord, let's not take 10 years off of Leah's life.
10 years off the life I've lived. So I'm sitting there on my phone and I'm like, I'm getting younger. I can feel it. And I look online and I'm like, oh, so I see these missiles launch in the air. And then many conflicting reports. Some say they were just drones. Some say they were drones with lights on. Some say they were missiles. Some said that their Air Force base had some hit. Some say the Iron Dome was able to stop it. What are they? Oh, the puppy. Oh my God.
So Ezekiel here has grown two times in 5 days. This is so much bigger than he was on Monday.
That's like a full size puppy. How much do you think that dog weighs?
Look at the size of that dog.
About 45 pounds.
Are they sleeping with you? Or are they sleeping in a crate?
They're sleeping in a crate, but I'm going to try to get them to sleep with me.
Oh my God.
Leah, keep going because we're going to have to do the puppy thing after.
Where's the other dog?
Look, Scott, I'm telling you, that dog is bigger than I saw it. It was Tuesday I saw that dog.
Told you they were growing.
Is the other one sleeping?
Mika, yeah, look at him. Look at him leaning on your chest. Scott.
Are they being good for you? They don't like get into things, chew things or anything, or do they?
Do we want to talk about Israel or do we want to talk puppies?
Both.
Okay, go ahead. Right, take a break from Israel and talk puppies.
He's been having a hard day today because he couldn't run around. And so he's been chewing on stuff.
The giant baby.
Do you have some dog chews?
Oh, he's
them?
Got everything, Leah.
Oh yeah, we've got. They've gone through my bully sticks almost. I got to get some more bully sticks.
Okay, that's great. Awesome.
Oh my gosh!
Sounds like you're gonna take up running.
Oh, Scott's gonna start running. Pray for Scott's hip. Oh, he absolutely. Would be running already if it weren't for that hip.
I know that stinks. Yeah. But good news is those are big dogs. They don't really want to run too much. They're puppies right now, so they're like giant puppies. It's kind of hard to fathom.
No. You guys don't understand. This is shocking to me. This dog has grown like 10 or 15 pounds since I saw it on Tuesday.
Yes.
I am terrified. This is unreal. Crazy. That dog's head is bigger than your head. It looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's a huge he's nugget. Huge. He's in my it's whole a virtual life. Planetoid.
Okay. Good boy.
Oh my gosh.
Good boy. Yes. Come here, Nika. Come on, Nika. She's in the crate. She thinks I'm gonna. She doesn't like to be picked up sometimes. She'll be out in a little bit. I'll get her.
Gosh,
I know how. Hang on a minute. Yeah, they're big. Big. Here we go.
Oh my gosh! So South Paul says, can Scott research about not giving big dogs puppy food because they will grow too fast and get joint issues? Scott is planning on moving to a raw food diet. This is just to transport them. They were not raised. They weren't raised on a raw food diet, were they, Scott? They were raised on puppy food. Right. So that'll be a transition that Scott's going to make when he gets home.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Raw food diets for that big of a dog.
Or natural food, whatever, like homemade foods. Scott's already done the research and so has.
I'm going to set aside 3 cows this year for the dogs.
Which is outrageously ridiculous expensive.
I'm trying to think about, you said 150 pounds on these dogs?
120 to 140,
ooh,
give or take. So, huge shout out to Susan.
Bless my soul.
If I may. Susan, the breeder here. She offered to give Scott, I hope that I'm allowed to say this, to give Scott one dog. And then Scott was going to purchase another dog from her so that there would be two. And had every intention of purchasing the second dog. Susan would not take any money for the second dog. And when asked what Scott could do, she said, just tell everybody that we're breeders. So if anybody would like to have their own bear in their home.
Yeah, become a Russian.
You can research the Tibetan Mastiff. And we know a good breeder.
This is Nika.
That's Nika. Hi, Nika. Hi, sweet baby pumpkin. Look at her face. You can hardly see her because they're dark. Their faces are dark.
Yeah. No. He's kissing you on the screen.
Aww. This is so cute. Scott tells me, I really hate video. I hate video. And I'm like, Scott, they look forward to Gospel Peace every week because there's video. And now you have to do video.
because of the puppies. South Paul says they are absolutely gorgeous. Deb says, save the cows, feed venison. The little bears, yeah. Love raw food idea, says. And by the way, Kim was invaluable to Scott.
Yes.
At the Kim event. Loom, huge shout out to Kim.
Can you hear me okay? Can
you hear me? Yeah, we got you.
Yep.
Big call out to Kim. Fantastic, huge help in helping me with some basics. Big call out to Michelle and Leah. And Michelle there in particular was this huge help with me in kind of getting some basics. And these little sweeties are, it's, I will tell you, honestly, this is the hardest part of their life right now.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're growing and we're moving a lot and they don't have a normal life. They've been completely unsettled in the last week and yet they're really doing well. And so we're going to be, we'll start our journey back this week and we'll be doing short trips about like 6 hours, 8 hours a day. And we'll be staying at motels. And she's just a cuddle bean. She's a cuddle bean right here.
That's awesome.
Okay, Leah.
Yeah.
We have a very serious word to give here, which maybe the Lord has designed specifically to give with puppies to help the spoonful of bitterness go down with fluff.
You know, I don't think that the word that I got is any... It's not going to come to as a shock to Scott.
You were screaming it.
Probably, yeah. Or probably anybody else in the chat. But it was to me. Because as much as Scott has talked about Israel and the different things going on over there, I kind of secretly rooted for Israel. But
brainwashed.
No, I don't know.
I'm joking. We're all conditioned into it. I mean,
I feel like there's two sides to it all. I agree. You know, I don't see that, you know, Hamas has any redeeming. There's literally nothing redeeming about Hamas whatsoever. These guys are bloodthirsty killers and they're just evil to the core. So, you know, I'm not. So you want to wipe out evil.
Right.
However, right. This isn't about Muslims. It's not about Hamas. It's not about anything. Oftentimes in the Bible, pretty much 100% of the time, like not 99, you know, God really never uses a righteous nation in the Bible. You never see a righteous nation come against Israel to take Israel down. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
It never exists because the only righteous nation was Israel. So if anybody, if you're not righteous, then, you know, it's so there was nobody else better than Israel to come in and take them out is what I'm trying to get at. Right. So in that vein, you can see that, you know, oftentimes in the Old Testament, you'll see God use an unrighteous nation to come against Israel. And then God then 100% of the time comes against that unrighteous nation. And you would think, but God, you told them to do that.
Right.
Yeah, but you're not good either. Okay. So here you go. Here we go. We're going together on this. Right. And so that is exactly what's going to happen here. Right. God has taken issue with Israel and then he will take issue with Hamas. However, God's judgment must first begin with his people who know better before he can judge those who are not his people who do not know better. Okay. And then he actually does judge the nation that takes out God's people. So it's kind of an interesting thing how God works. He kind of seems like a schizophrenic, but he's God. So we don't really get to question him. I understand the way he does it. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me, but for some people it's not black and white. People love black and white. It's not. Black,
let's add another layer of gray to that, though, Leah, because you just said, you know, God's people. Right. And we just established earlier we're God's people.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not even a matter of this. We're talking about the nation state of Israel. And per the prophecy that you got that I've been waiting for you to come on here and give, she was literally screaming this prophecy out so much. So
I would say yelling. I would say it was
like
screaming.
It was almost like your screaming throat was kind of like
this little high pitch, like. Okay. Ah, like you're scared. yelling.
Oh, it was guttural. It was guttural shouting.
It was guttural. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, guttural is definitely different.
So
than,
maybe
than
get
screaming.
Into that part of the word where you talked about them and them claiming to be God's people.
Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to preface this because it was so stark for me. That came on me. Uncle Jack came out and he's like, I was like, I was just praying. He goes, no, you weren't. You weren't praying. That's not what's, he literally was like, that is not what prayer sounds like. And I was like, okay, you're right. It wasn't prayer, but it was the voice of God. And he was just like, okay, all right. And I said, yeah. So what came on me as I began to pray in the spirit, first of all, today, it was our first day out after a while. It had been really rainy. We were out in the sun and it was a really nice day, blah, blah, blah. Seems like a good day. And then I just heard like this voice say, today will be a day unlike any other day. Okay. All right. We'll wait to see how that plays out. And that's, I just put it to the side. You get a word from that. You, oh, okay, whatever. Today's going to be like any other, today will be a day unlike any other day. And I just put it to the side. And then when I looked and I saw those missiles in the air, the Lord said, I told you, what's happening with Israel and Iran is unlike any other day. Okay, unlike any other day. What does that mean? Well, it's Israel as a nation has never been punished by God for doing what? And I, here it comes. This is me.
Let her rip, Leah. Let it go. We're ready. Scott's been priming these people for weeks for this.
You can't.
Months.
You can't like fake a word from God. So this is me playing telephone. And if the Holy Spirit comes on me, well, it probably is better because it's kind of like a Moses thing. If I give you the word that the Lord gave me rather than you just hear it straight, like pure, because it's kind of scary. And people might like, it was a little weird. I know the voice of God. I know what it sounds like. I know it was God, but it's intense. So this is me saying, oh, this is what I heard. So this isn't me. This is not me. I literally was like out of body experience because this is not what I think. Okay. This is what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I do not think these thoughts. The Lord said to me, and I've never thought this thought. I don't know why. It makes sense now. He said, Israel has been taking God's name in vain. And Scott, we know what it means to take God's name in vain. And it's, yes. What's interesting is that just on our show, we did a really interesting clip from Jordan Peterson. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's coming. Oh, Lord. So Jordan Peterson had done a clip where he said, taking God's name in vain does not mean swearing or saying, oh, my God. Taking God's name in vain means that you say you are speaking in oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Means that I can't, you guys. Okay, here we go. It doesn't mean that you're just taking God's name in vain. You're swearing. It means that you are representing God. You say that you represent God when you don't represent God. The nation of Israel oh, Lord, please don't make me say this out loud. I literally told Michelle, I can't say this out loud on TV, which is why I'm probably not, you're not even seeing my face because Michelle says it. My mom said I look like a homeless person today because I haven't even, I did brush my teeth, but I don't think I washed my face. I did change my clothes like a couple hours ago.
Night.
Okay, so Israel, and you believe this, but it's too hard. It's very hard for me to say this. Israel has been taking God's name in vain because they say they represent God in a nation that is God's chosen people, and they do not represent God, and they are not, hallelujah, they are not God's chosen people. This, as it is, the nation of Israel that stands right now today, and here we go, anti-Semite, Leah, whatever, talk to God about this. This is a word from the Holy Spirit, okay? Israel, created in 1948, is not the Israel of the Bible. Okay.
Amen.
It's not the Israel that God, it is not the Israel that Paul spoke about. The true Israel is Israel of the heart. And the Israel, oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Okay.
I've been muting my laughter the whole time. I don't know how long I can keep it muted.
How can I? This is the word that I'm hearing, that the Israel of 1948 is going to cease to exist. It's going to go back to the land of Palestine as a mixed group of people. Okay, God, whatever. Whatever you want to do. You
just
say it.
Say it.
That's what I just, I mean, that's it. I mean, like, that's a huge word. You think that we're on Scott's podcast, okay? Scott is in a little corner of the world right now. And the other people in that corner to the left are those crazy Nick Fuentes anti-Semite, anti-Zionist, schizophrenic men and little boys who the devil has possessed, so that when the word of God would come forth truly and righteously, it would be obfuscated by those people. I do not stand with Nick Fuentes. I do not stand with Ye. I do not stand with any of those people because they have hatred and anger in their heart. And the devil, I tell you what, the devil's happy to take what God is actually saying and have these other people twist it so that when you hear what God is saying, you'll miss it. Okay? You'll just miss it. And this country that was created, and let me tell you guys, there's a lot of countries that were created, and God's going to come for you next. So Muslims, don't think that, oh, Leah's talking about Israel, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. No, y'all got your own issues, and when we deal with this issue, God wants to deal with this issue first, because Muslims, you don't represent Yeshua, you don't represent Yahweh, you don't represent the God of the Bible, so God's got to deal with those who are taking his name in vain first, and then he will deal with those who aren't even trying to take his name in vain. They're not even trying, okay? So he'll come for any, he's coming for everybody, okay? So don't think that this is any sort of, and he came for us first. I asked God to come and judge us first, okay? So now I feel like he's judged, and every single one of these Christian evangelical Trump supporters, we've all been through the ringer. Now it's Israel's turn, and Israel's been going through the ringer right now. And the world has been looking at Israel and kind of pulling apart the layers of the CIA. And when they get down to it, they will get to the fact that Israel was falsely created under false pretenses, and they have to stand. Hallelujah. If you want to stand as a country, you stand as a country, but you don't get to stand as a country claiming that the God of the Bible is your God. Okay? You stand as any other country. You stand like France. You stand like Australia. Listen, Israel fought a war. They won some land. They created a country. That's happened, you know, the Moabites claimed land from the Amorites, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Israel has to do anything, give any land back or whatever. Yeah, it's war, baby. That's what happens. People claim war. They claim territory. You got the Houthi Muslims and the Sunni Muslims, and they're fighting, or they fight each other, you know, whatever they're doing. There's going to be war. So I'm not saying it, but Israel's going to, the facade that Israel is God's chosen people, that these particular Jews are God's chosen people in the name of Jesus is coming off. The mask is coming off. Because they don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They follow the Talmudic practices, which are pedophilic, and they're not the Bible. When they get back to the Torah, when they get back to Genesis through Malachi, okay, then we can start having these Judeo-Christian value conversations. But we do not have Talmudic Christian. There's nothing in the Talmud that lines up with Christianity. Okay. There are wonderful, beautiful, do not get me wrong. There are wonderful, beautiful Jewish people that love Yahweh. But the nation of Israel, as it stands, is mostly atheist. And there are radical Jews that want to pretty much annihilate all the Gentiles and have them subjugated, because they read in Isaiah that they'll all come and bow down to you. They'll all come and serve you. And that's what these really intense Hasidic Jews are preaching to one another. and are saying to one another, and you've got different layers of this total atheist, anti-God, to all the way to the Hasidic Jews, to the weird Talmudic Jews in between. It has nothing to do right now with true believers in Yahweh, okay? To the believers in Yahweh, to the believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I say I stand with you, but find yourself a safe place to go. Because right now, the nation of Israel that pretends, any pretenders, anybody who does, their heart does not follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anybody who reads reads Genesis through Malachi and thinks it's a bunch of fairy tales, okay, God is coming for you. I want to say this one more time just for my own self. There are so many wonderful Jews out there who love Yahweh. They love the El Shaddai. They love Elohim. They read the Bible. They read the Torah. They read Genesis. They celebrate Passover. They're just loving, but they're missing Yeshua in the Bible. Okay? They're just missing Yeshua. Pray for them. Do not let your heart grow cold against God's chosen people, his real, truly chosen people, because let's be clear. Paul said that there are those who have to be grafted back in, and they are God's chosen people, all right? They're going to come back into the fold. But those are the people. How do you know God's chosen people? Here's the cool part. Here's the cool part. It's really great. Many are called, few are chosen. You know what's interesting is Jesus said that to the disciples, and he was talking about the Jews, different Jews that are chosen. But Paul talked about being chosen. And you know what he said? He said, this is right. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Okay. So it's not either or, Michelle. It's both and. There are God's chosen people among the Jews, and there are God's chosen people among the Gentiles. I'm going to say it one more time. God has chosen people amongst Muslims, amongst Hindus, and he has chosen people amongst Jews. And it's easier for a Jew to come into the tree because they were cut off, but their tree, and this is true, the reason why a Jew comes back easier is because they're of the same stock. But when we join and they join, we both join into the same tree. All right? So let's just let me be clear. Both are chosen. Not one is more special than the other. God doesn't have a whole bunch of people with blood in their veins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's not that the Jews as a whole are God's chosen people. Hallelujah. He has people within the Jewish race or nationality, we're going to call it. He has people within every single race, creed, whatever, that are God's chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Scott and I were talking about this. Wide is the gate, but narrow is the way, and few there be who find that narrow way. It's like a secret passageway. And then when the Jews come in, and the Muslims come in, and the Hindus come in, and we all begin to look and see that Yahweh, Yeshua, HaMashiach, has been calling us all, okay? And we join with our Jewish brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful, awesome, wonderful thing. We all are equal and we all have a common shared heritage. And the Jews can begin to explain a few more things on the temple and how, and a Jewish, a Messianic Jew can explain what that looks like now for now, because that's a, those are just such beautiful hidden gems when you understand what the golden candlesticks represented, when you understand what the altar and the incense represented. It's a richness in our own faith. Okay, so God has a remnant. God has a remnant amongst the Jews so that, like with the Amish, we won't forget. Because the temple, the tabernacle, if you don't understand them, you won't understand the sacrifice of Jesus. So you have to have a remnant of people who understand the significance and the beauty that God had. Do you know how much detail Ezekiel goes into, like the carving of the rose of Sharon and the pomegranates and the angels. It's so intensely beautiful. And you read Revelation, and Revelation just really brings the New Testament, New Covenant aspect into what is, what was God trying to do? What is it, you know, what does it represent on earth? So the word is this, in essence, is that Israel, be prepared to be dissolved from those who are taking God's name in vain, so that all who call upon his name in truth shall be saved. And the land of Israel and Palestine will once again be a place where those who are Arabs, those who are Semites, those who are European, those who are African, those who are Asian, anybody can come and go and visit this beautiful, wonderful, holy land. For it is the holy land. For it is the place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a place of memorials. You can go and visit these wonderful places. It is set up for a memorial for us. And there are going to be pilgrimages going. But I foresee a place that is almost like a neutral place that is not owned by Jews. It's not owned by any sort of race, but a universal kind of, you know, place where people who want to go and visit that area can come and go. But that's going to require so much change and so much prayer for us to begin to see our brothers and sisters who are currently Muslim, who we have not been able to reach because of this creation of the nation of Israel, which makes us and forces us to be part of a blood feud. And we need to come out from this blood feud between Semites and Arabs. We have to remove ourselves, and we have to say, listen, we're not doing, you guys are the Hatfields and the McCoys. We will not be part of your blood religious feud. We are not going to be part of your religious war. We're not going to do it. We're not going to have Jews against Muslims. We're not going to be those Christians who get involved in this religious war. Okay. Our battles right now are not with flesh and blood. They're spiritual. And in order for us to take on a spiritual battle to truly save souls and to bring peace, okay, we have to be so wise and to come out and to just stop. We have to call out hatred. Yes. And what are the real sins, right? Hatred in your heart. So if you've got Palestinians are so full of hate, and all of these Palestinian protesters, these little woke, whoever you call it, trying to shut down highways and everything, they're so full of hate. They don't have the love of God. Okay, I'm not on your side. You're so full of hate. You've got the Jews who have a bitter, bitter bitterness. And quite frankly, a lot of people believe that they would have fought back more if not they had, you know, surmised that if a Holocaust had taken place and the more Jews were killed, then they might get their Holy Land. And whether it was purposeful or not, they certainly have played on these the deaths of these people, and in such a way that it's almost sickening. And I understand where some people, I don't need to question a number. Hitler killing and gas chambering one person is bad, okay? But being able to take that and use that, and both sides, like both sides will shove their grandma in front of a car. Okay.
Amen.
And then just to claim victimhood.
Hey, Leah, take a breath for a second, because you've covered a lot of ground here. And I know Scott's got a lot to say about literally everything you've said here. So don't go anywhere with your train of thought, but let's have some conversation about, because you literally just dropped a big couple bombs, no pun intended.
I think at this point, my own brain is like,
no, go ahead. Did I cut you off?
I don't know. Leah, you muted.
Oh.
There you
go. Did I mute? No.
No, you're back. Go ahead, Scott.
No, the word I got, I just to sum up where I'm going, the word that I got was so intense And so not where I wanted, not where I was expecting to go. I was, and maybe Scott can bring some clarity, not some explanation to this word, because it's so intense. And our particular people, I want to be able to say this in a way to my Christian brothers and sisters, and to every politician, every Republican, even every Democrat is online saying we need to stand with Israel, we're going to stand with Israel, blah blah blah. And so there's got to be a way for me to explain to people this in a way that doesn't sound like Nick Fuentes.
Well, I think that one of the things that we don't discuss enough, when we say it, but we don't really embrace it, is that God created all his children here on earth. And you really did this well, Leah, because is when we get past that rift of hate, which is what Israel represents, because it's us and them. You're either on the side of Israel or you're against. We no longer are able to see the commonality. And we've talked about that here. And it's uncomfortable because of the level of hatred that we've had towards radical Islam. And I need to really clarify here a bit, because radical Islam, just like ISIS, was engineered and trained by intelligence agencies, CIA, Mossad, MI6, to do just what it did, to take, like we're seeing within the black community, to create a animosity towards another religion or another race. And then with that movement, it's because people tend to be very weak. It creates emotion within a crowd. So it's literally the sociology of group dynamics concept, is that when a few agitators can mobilize an entire crowd, even though most of the crowd may not be in alignment, they're going to move together because they're weak and too weak to stand up in the opposition. So that's essentially what you've seen with radical Islam. And you've seen that in, then you counter that with, you know, the two ends to the middle, which is always the same thing, is that you create the problem and the counter reaction to it, which is going to be you create the hatred and then you infuse the hatred more with warring against them. And then with this, now you have this blood rift that goes on forever. Your word is powerful. And I think it's really, it provides great deals of hope. And it's so much Christ within that word. And I think this is where we go back to this. If we walk as Jesus walks, ask yourself a simple question. Would Jesus hate Muslims? Would he hate Buddhists? Would he hate Hindus? Would he hate? There would be no hate in his heart. And I think this is what we have to, when we have hate in our hearts, and you said this, we ourselves are of sin. And this is something that we have to step back on. The only, and even, and I would say the hatred even has to come out, step back from even the sense of pedophilia. There is righteous indignation and there is judgment. But when we put hatred in that equation, that is not of Christ. And it's not of heaven. It's not of God. So I would agree with you 100%. The Palestinians are not sinless any more than Israel is sinless. What we've done is we've created an untouchable class. And this is typical human reaction, which is if one side is untouchable, then obviously the other side is victim, which in this case, within the Gaza Strip, there are victims, plural, and there are people that are manipulating the situation for their own benefit. Hamas is partly funded by Mossad, as it is also funded by Iran. Talk about a mess that is. And so you end up with intelligence agencies playing both ends to the middle, everybody trying to position and putting people on the ground that are suffering the consequences. This is where God comes in. Because when the innocents suffer at the hands of the mighty and powerful, God steps in. This is David pulling out the five kings and putting the foot on their throat and then declaring, this is what God will do to them and do to you, he says, and all the others like you, and then kills them. So really, and this is interesting because your word very much ties in with the book of Joshua. And this is, and it's so powerful because that was where God told me to go through that book. And you've heard me say that. I went through it four times on the way out on the trip. And the book of Joshua has some very simple conclusions to it. and they're not conclusions that fit well today, because we have come up with this very lukewarm middle ground of Christianity, which is that we can compromise on all things and somehow get to heaven. God's way in the book of Joshua is, you are either with me or you are against me. It's literally that simple. And it's the covenant with God that we have all forgotten, not all, but we've not respected the intensity of what that covenant is. So we're looking at a point in time, and this is where I'll take it back to the eclipse. The eclipse is at 100% totality. It is 100% that of God in that moment. You are all in or you aren't. And so that's why I brought that up in another way. But if you aren't in 100% totality, you and Michelle have spoken about this. I've heard testimony of somebody at the church at Peterson's church on Wednesday talking about how they were a mile and a half away from totality and they felt agitated. And I'm like, wow, there's your answer, right? You're either all in with God or you're not. So, and that's the metaphor, but it applies. So I think really what, when I hear your word, I think it's extremely encouraging, is the falsity that has been created in this false idol that was purchased and acquired through force and then through violence and through blood is not that of God. That land was not acquired for God. It was acquired for other reasons. And the money that drove it was purely satanic, that which is the Rothschilds. And that began in 1917, which just ironically is the same year as the Russian Revolution. There's no irony here, but I'm just saying, it's just that you can't just look at these as coincidences. And the balance of this all happens the same. The Israel state is stood up and approved the same time the Kinsey Institute comes into being. So, I mean, there's a lot of things here that can't be disconnected. And we are now seeing that when you strip away, and Michelle asked this earlier, what happens when you take away Israel? The entire world changes is what happens. When you take away the false country of Israel, and it has become an iconic and idolatry of its own, when you take that away, everything in the world changes. And that's truly a profound shift and move by God. So go ahead, Leah.
I just think we should pray.
Well, let's do.
Yeah, I'm happy to start. God, I just lift this up to you. You spoke to me and said that today would be a day like any other day. You had spoke to us that after April 8th, everything would begin to change. You would say that you said that you would right that which is wrong. You said that you would turn everything upside down and right side up. And I thank you, Father God, that those who have been on top are now flipping to the bottom. Those who have been on the bottom, it's time to flip to the top. If you've ever seen the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, there's one of the movies where they literally go up and down and they end up in a different part of the world, a different world. And we're getting ready to end up in a different world, a world that you have never seen before. This is a world where Muslims and Jews and Christians come together and they begin to share their faith like you've never seen before. You're going to begin to see a transformation. Hallelujah. You're going to see a convergence of the called. You're going to see that Yeshua is calling his sheep from the far corners of this planet and not from outer space. Okay, guys, there's no aliens. He's calling. This is his chosen planet. He's got one planet. There's one earth. There's one savior. There's one God. And he's calling people from the far corners of the earth. And when you hear his voice, you will all converge in one place. And that place is not hallelujah. Thank you. You're putting it all together. And I feel like I wish you guys could just be in my brain. Okay. Because the words are not going to come out correctly the way I'm seeing it. Jesus, help me to explain. Hallelujah. This is the Revelation Red Pill. This is the culmination of what we've been doing for a year. If you guys have not taken our Revelation Red Pill classes, please go and take them. Binge watch them. I keep hearing people saying, I'm bringing my friends, I'm bringing my family. Start at episode 1, at least make it through episode 10, if you can, to 15. The rest of them, we just keep going over things. But when you watch them and the Kingdom Roundtable, you'll understand something. The one thing that he wants you to come into is he wants you to come into his kingdom, and his kingdom, the doorway is salvation. And you see, his kingdom is not of this world, but it's invading this world. His kingdom is not of this world, but it's invading the planet. It invades the planet, hallelujah, through every single person that comes to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and has it and becomes transformed. And you become, hallelujah, I've never seen this before, you become a living, walking Garden of Eden. Oh, hallelujah. So where you go, you are the tree. Scott got this word. Scott got this word about these two trees that were planted. And you see, when you read in Revelation, and I believe in Ezekiel, I think it's 47, you read about the tree of life. You are the tree. You're the tree that has fruit in every month. You're the tree that has healing for the nations. You are a living, walking Garden of Eden. And where you go, Jesus said, do you understand? If you just allow the Holy Spirit, when you read the Bible and you allow the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm going to write my word on your heart so that you understand what I've been trying to say through the prophets who didn't even see Jesus, but they saw him far off. And he said, out of your belly would flow what? Rivers of living water. Out of your belly would flow the Garden of Eden. Because out of the Garden of Eden, you guys, it didn't need to rain. The rain that we need now is the former and the latter rain, which is the Holy Spirit, so that where you go, you can have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, giftings of healing. What does that mean? It means that you are bringing, hallelujah, you've never seen this before. Jason Heidinger has a word. It's called Garden 2.0. Wherever you go, you're going to see people who bring healing with them, healing for their hearts. They take a hand in their hand, and suddenly, all the brokennesses are gone because Jesus wanted to clone himself. Just Paul said, be like me. He said, be like me. Jesus said, be like me. Jesus wanted to clone himself. Greater works that you would do. What was he saying? He wants us to go back to the Garden of Eden so that we can talk and walk with God. So that we can walk and talk with God all the time. And so guess what? When you're walking and talking with God, like in the Garden of Eden, then you're going to have words for everybody that comes into your circle, comes into your life. And it doesn't mean that you become the oracle, okay? So people keep coming to you. The reason Christianity spread was because people said, look, I met a man and now he lives inside of me. And now I can know all things that I need to know at any given time. Would you want to meet him? And then you go and introduce this friend to your friend. And then they get so excited meeting this new friend. It's like everybody who wants to meet Scott Kesterson. And then they want to introduce him to your friend and then introduce him to your friend. But there's only one Scott. But Jesus can be a friend to everybody. He's God. He's the creator. And it's so wonderful and it's so great. And so this place that we're going to converge, it's called the New Jerusalem. Read about it. You're going to read about it in Isaiah. Look it up and just put in New Jerusalem. There's no tears in the New Jerusalem, meaning when you are in that heavenly place, when your mind is there, like when Abigail or Leah or all these kids were praying in the Holy Spirit, there's the sadness is all gone when you're in the New Jerusalem. Okay? Outside of the New Jerusalem is the sickness and the heartache and all of that. That's the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. That's we're strangers. We're pilgrims. Okay. We knew that the pilgrims said that they were longing for another land. They knew that they were strangers. They knew that they were pilgrims. Know that you're a pilgrim. Know that this is a dress rehearsal. Know that this is a stopover place for you. You're going to make the most of it because God wants you to make the most of it. And he put you on this planet to enjoy him, enjoy yourself, and to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth with godly people so that he can fill his. This is a place right now for people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Earth is a place where God, hallelujah, where God, it's like a trial. It's like our trial, okay, to get to heaven. He loves him. He loves so much and he wants heaven filled. Oh, hallelujah. There's heaven is so infinite. There will never be, there's impossible to have enough people. Imagine like a flea circus or something. And imagine the earth, right? So like that heaven is beyond that. And imagine a flea circus and the universe. That's what heaven is in you and me. All right. There can never be. It will never be. We'll never fill it up. Okay. But he had to be able to test. He had to be able to kind of to weed through the wheat and the chaff so that heaven would be filled with people like himself. Okay. People like himself. And so right now, many are.
Leah, you just muted.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes.
You can hear me now, right? Okay. That's when the screen went blank. There are people who, God doesn't choose everybody, guys. There are people that you're called to pray for, and there's people that you're not called to pray for. Ask for God to show you with the Holy Spirit over somebody. Just ask for wisdom, okay? Because there's a lot of people called, and there's a lot of people that you're wasting your time with. So just pray for those people that are called. Just imagine a room full of people, like 1,000 people, and there's like, you know, 200 or 300 of them, and they have a special mark on them. And they're all supposed to converge in one spot. Go and get them. Okay? That's what God is saying. There are sheep and there are goats, and he will separate them. There is wheat and there are chaff, and he will separate them. But right now, in this moment, go and call them all to come into the New Jerusalem. They can live there right now. They can live there right now. Go and tell them that there's a better place, that there's a better place for their heart to be, for their soul to be, where there's kindness and love and joy. That's what we're called to do right now in this hour. In this, there's a convergence, and call them to go and live with you and dwell with you in the New Jerusalem. And I just thank you, Father God, that you're going to turn, you're going to bring justice to those who have been unjustly served, that you're going to bring righteousness, that you're going to bring holiness, that you're going to bring families back together, that you're gonna stop this sex trafficking. And I'll end with this, because I had a dream. And in part of this dream, I went up to Robbie Starbuck, and Robbie Starbuck was the size of like the Avatar characters, just a giant. And his wife was there, and just giant. And I told him some good news, and he hugged me, and he said, you're gonna do great things now. You're gonna do great things now. And I went and I sat down with the guy, and there was all this, you know, this kind of like pizza box. Everybody was eating pizza. And I said, you see this pizza right here with jalapenos on it? I can eat this because I can stomach it. That's like what I do. I'm called to help sex trafficked victims. I'm called to help victims of sexual abuse because I can stomach it. Not everybody can stomach it, but I can. And so I realized that that's why our job, God has pulled together this team at this time for this hour, for this reason, because in order for us to take down the wicked, in order for us to make things right, the number one sin we have to get out of the church is the sexual sin. And so in order to do that, we're going to have to bring down and expose people like Robbie Starbuck has done. But when you watch his movie, it's so unsettling, and a lot of people can't stomach it. But we can. The Bard's people, we're the jalapeno people, okay? We're designed to do this. It doesn't mean that you have to make everybody get on board with what you're doing and how you're doing it. Because when you tell some of these stories, it literally puts a hole in people's stomach and they can't function. It's so painful. But we are, it doesn't mean that you stop doing it. You do and you say whatever God's called you to say and do. Okay. You have to do that. All right. And continue to do it. Because if you're a Bard's person or you're a Resistance Chicks viewer, most of you, I'm not going to say all of you, because I know I've talked to some of you and probably some of you who have been victims, you can't stomach it. I'm not going to make anybody eat jalapenos who can't do it. Okay, if you can't stomach where we're going and what we're doing and how we're, oh, okay, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, yeah. So I have been called by God to start a program on Tuesday nights, and I'm putting this out there, for victims of sexual abuse trauma. And we're going to do a kind of a Bible study and a therapy Not that you're going to tell me all your stories, but we may have a little group where people kind of got to get things off their chests, because a lot of you have been having a lot of buried memories and things. So we've got to get all this sexual abuse taken care of so that we can begin to heal and begin to rebuild families. Because until we deal with how we relate to the opposite gender correctly, we're not going to be able to build the families and replenish the earth that God is calling us to do in this hour. So, for about 9 weeks, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm not sure when I'm going to start this. On Tuesdays, we're going to go through, we're going to do a little, we're going to do some therapy. We're going to get the, we're going to get memories up. We're going to do some workbook stuff, and we're going to go through this stuff. And I'm going to have you guys get this workbook, and we're going to go through it together. And we're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to heal us from all the brokennesses, how you dealt with it. I have not been a victim of sexual trauma, but I can, but I have been given the stomach to help and understand it, to heal those who have been. And so we're gonna do that. And then you're gonna go, and you're gonna go out and help others. Because with 80 or 90% of men looking at pornography, we know that if we're going to go and minister and witness to the Muslims, a large majority of Muslim men sexually abuse their wives and daughters, okay, and sons. So we have to deal with these people. And not only that, we have to be able to bring healing, God's healing, to these victims. Okay. So there's so many layers to this. And I just truly believe that the bridge right now, that the Lord is going to bridge between the Muslim community and us, is we are called, and this is coming to me right now as I'm speaking. I'm going to pray that victims of sexual abuse are going to come to our channels, okay, to come and get healing from from Arab nations and from the Muslim faith. And, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out. So the Chinese, everybody, you're all welcome. But I think that this might be a bridge for us, because there's so many victims of sexual abuse in the Muslim community, and they don't have something. So I'm going to pray that that's going to be our way in, that we're going to be able to help a lot of these Muslim victims of sexual trauma to get healed, and a lot of the men who have been perpetuating it to be freed and to ask God's forgiveness. Because we have a lot of work to do. So Father God, as I end my prayer, this has been a revelatory day. It's been a revelatory just show for me, for guys. I can just tell you that the revelations are coming and putting so many pieces together for us. That all the many of the words the Lord's been given to me are converging, which is the God, as the gospel won't rest, it's gonna west, it's gonna go east. God wants to heal the families. God wants to end the sex trafficking. All these different things are coming together at one moment, at one time. And whatever it was, with Iran launching drones, missiles, whatever it is, it set something in motion. It set something in motion. And now that this is done and set in motion, I want you to relax. I want you to smile. I want you to rejoice. Because what has happening is God is undoing the past 100 years of false theology, false Christian teaching. Everything that's happening in Israel is being revealed. The mask is coming off. The CIA mask is coming off. It's just like 9/11, and it's going to be a blow and a wake-up call to the American church. And these evangelicals are going to be saying, "What did we support?" The word I got was that we've been supporting pedophiles. There's a pedophile network in Israel, and we've been supporting them. There is an LGBT. That's what it is. Everything, man. I don't know where you guys are at. You guys could just shut me off, because every time I come and say another thing, another vision I get. God said that that Tel Aviv parade, the LGBT parade, is a homosexual pedophilic parade, and they have been. Thank you, Jesus. God has been mocked by that LGBT, by the quote unquote, you can't, the LGBT community mocking God. What they're doing is they're saying it's the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Holy Land of God mocking the very God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the very acts that they have been committing. These are demons who have been allowed to run rampant through the streets of these very holy streets. These are very holy places, okay? If my grandfather grew up somewhere, it's a special place. I might go visit it. When God himself set up a group of people and David and all our heroes grew up there, that's a really cool, awesome, holy place, okay? It's a great place. The tabernacle and everything, the temple was there. It's a great place. It's a wonderful, holy place. And how dare these homosexual spirits, because it's not just the people, okay? We have to recognize it's not the people, it's the demonic spirits. And hallelujah, we're not trying to battle the Jews. We're not trying to battle even these, any sort of, we're not battling any people, you guys. This is the layer. These are homosexual Sodom and Gomorrah spirits that have taken over this territory and claimed it. These demonic spirits help set up the nation of Israel to get the eyes of evangelical Christians off of the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob so that they would not claim the promises and they would not claim the promises of the true New Jerusalem and the true Israel, which is Israel from above. Listen to these scriptures. I'm not making things up. This is a scripture. True Jerusalem is of above. Remember this. Get it in your head. The true Jerusalem is up above. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Paul said that. John said that. The true Jerusalem is up above. They didn't care about the temple anymore. They didn't care about that city, Jerusalem, anymore because they lived for another city and another place, okay? And even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew that Israel, thank you, Jesus, here's another word from God. I can't, you guys, this is crazy. Okay, so they knew, it says in the Bible, that they looked for another home. Did you know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, they weren't happy with the promised land? Because they knew deep inside that that was only a type and a shadow of the true promised land, that there's nothing on earth that can ever quench your spirit, because the promised land is of above. And that's when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and we get to live out of heaven, and we get to live with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Abraham is our father. We are of the seed. Jesus Christ was the seed. And now we are of the seed of Abraham. And he watches us and he looks after us. And he is our great grandfather. And guess what? He doesn't live in Jerusalem. And he's never coming back to this planet. Okay? Nobody from heaven is coming back to this planet. Stop thinking that. We are going to go be with them because that's the land that they truly look for. The land that was above. You're never going to wish that you were back here on planet Earth. We saw the movie After Death. Those people that went to heaven never wanted to come back. Jesus is not going to sit on some sort of earthly throne and have us all come back to earth in some sort of earthly body. And we're not ever going to eat and poop again. Stop that. That's not true. It's not going to happen. All right. Jesus was raised. He died an earthly body. He raised a heavenly body. These bodies that are in heaven, they don't sleep with each other. They don't reproduce. They eat a heavenly food. Manna was a heavenly food, and you have a heavenly body when you're, and you enjoy the life and the love of God in a whole other way. And you're never going to look back on this earth and say, I wish I was there. But what you are going to do is you're going to be like our father Abraham, and you're going to pray for the people on earth, and you are still going to be part of those people and your generations after you're still going to be part of that. You're still part of it because you're still part of the body of Christ. It's like you're connected in a better way than you ever could be.
Braille okay? says, who put a quarter in Leah?
Sorry. Okay. I'll stop.
No,
but
you're
I'm
good.
Telling you guys. Okay. I'm just telling you. These things just keep coming. These revelations keep
just
coming.
Keep it rolling.
And you just need to recognize that heaven is real. And heaven is something that you can live out of right this very second, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you have never lived out of heaven, just ask him right now. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I want to be a new creature. I want that new Jerusalem that Leah is talking about. I want to live there. And you can go there right now today, this very second. When Jesus was talking to the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But he didn't mean when he died. He meant as soon as he believed that Jesus Christ was Lord, he would be in paradise. We can all be in paradise right now, this very second. We need to live out of that place, okay? It's an amazing, wonderful place. And we can live out of both. We can do and both, okay? Both and. We can live in this earth and recognize that our soul actually lives in heaven, that we're seated in heavenly places. And the earth is going to get better and better and better and better as you and I begin to traverse this planet and bring the Garden of Eden and the New Jerusalem and these trees of healing. We're literally walking. I want you to imagine yourself as a walking, living, breathing healing tree, because that's what we got to be when we were in the hospital with our mom. Wherever we went, we were a walking, living, breathing tree. And what we would do is we would ask people, do you want to eat some of this fruit? And if they said yes, because we didn't force it. If they said yes, we would grab the leaf and we'd say, what does this person need? And we'd look and see what we got. And we would hand them a piece of fruit. And we'd say, here's a God has a piece of fruit. And they would eat it. And it would go inside of them and it would heal a piece of them. So you get to do that wherever you go. And you allow Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, who needs some of my fruit today? Who needs some of my fruit today? Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Where can I take this water and who can I water today? Okay. And so if there's nobody around you, then you water yourself. You water other people with prayer. If you're an invalid and you're stuck and you're an older person or you're disabled or something, it doesn't matter. Don't beat yourself over the head. Go places in the spirit and water people in the spirit. Give people fruit trees in the spirit. You can do that because you live out of heaven. Your body may be here on earth, but your spirit's in heaven. You can go feed people wherever you go. Okay. So Father God, I thank you for everybody living right now, everybody who's watching, who's in the living water, and then out of their bellies, I think that you're going to fill them all with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're going to speak with other tongues. They're going to start praying things out. I pray for divine encounters for everybody listening right now. A divine encounter, if you need a divine encounter, I pray for a divine encounter for you right now. I pray a divine encounter for your body, a divine encounter for your mind. I know that our friend Chris in Iowa needed some prayers today. We prayed and we bound Satan. I want you to know, Chris, we prayed for you. I understand that when you get Holy Ghost filled and you start moving, then the enemy tries to come and steal that word. There's a principle that Jesus talked about. There's the seed that comes, that some fall on the wayside. Sometimes the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches come in and choke it. Sometimes the enemy tries to steal it, and we're not going to let that happen with anybody listening right now. I rebuke and I bind Satan. The enemy's not going to steal the words that are spoken to you tonight. It's going to go into good soil. I want everybody who's watching right now to say, I'm good soil, water me. Any seed that's planted right now, I'm good soil. I'm good soil. The seed of God is going in me and it's going to produce good fruit. I am a tree. I am a tree of healing. I am a tree of healing. Out of my belly flow rivers of living water. And we're going to do this wherever we go. And I just thank you, Father God, for this, that right now the Lord says that he has taken you guys. I think Abigail's wearing off on me. That's got to be it. Okay. Because this is the spirit of Abigail. She just keeps going, man. The Holy Spirit just, she gets another word and another word and another word and another word. So I'm going to stop here. No offense, Abigail, keep giving your words, because what they do is they stir people up. If everybody had the spirit of Abigail, then the whole world would be saved and we would all be walking, living gardens of Eden. We all need to be like her and Leah, right? So that's our goal. Okay. That's my goal. I want to be like them when I grow up. So I thank you, Father God, for everybody living. I don't know. It's so funny. I want to say watching or listening. I just say everybody living right now. You're living if you're living if you're listening right now. Everybody who's truly living right now, I thank you, Father God, that they are living, breathing trees, and they are going to walk where you've called them to walk, and they're going to be planted where you've called them to be planted, that you're going to heal them, that you're going to walk through them. And I thank you, Father God, for this evening. I thank you for the change. I thank you that we're marching on, and I ask you, Father God, to give us marching orders. I ask you to give us marching orders. I ask you, Father God, for the generals and for the privates and the sergeants and the colonels and all these different military leadership and the spirit and the body of Christ, that you begin to take your troops where they're going to be the most effective, that you protect them, that you give them cover, prayer cover, pray for one another. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night, just pace the floor until you fall asleep. If you can't sleep at night, then you're either being attacked by the enemy and you need deliverance, or you need to pray, okay? Just pray and ask Holy Spirit to be with you. He will be with you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you the path. This is the path that you keep asking for. And you know, what Scott has been doing on his show is he's been positively confessing the ancient past. And he says it over and over and over again. And he is not a broken record, because what he has done is there has been a breakthrough. And the dam has broken because you have confessed the ancient past over and over and over again, because you have been tenacious at confessing these ancient pasts. The Lord says they have now been revealed. They have now been revealed. The ancient pasts now are revealed to every single one of you. You are rushing forward. I see people running down the ancient paths. They are jumping. They are rejoicing. They are gleefully excited. I found the ancient path. I found it. And you see the ruins on your left, and you see the ruins on your right, and you're so excited. I saw a YouTube today where a young man found these ruins in Wales, but he could see, and I could see, what that used to look like. And you're going to see these ancient paths, and you're going to see where the fireplace was, and you're going to see where the barn was, and you're going to raise these barns, and you're going to raise these houses, and you're going to build these towns, and you're going to build these cities, all these American towns and cities, these ones that they call the flyover America. You're going to rebuild them. You're going to see them just like it was in the booming West. And you're going to booming, and you're going to, some of you are going out West, but some of you are going to stay right where you're at, because out in the country, God's going to make it so that so you're going to be able to be provided for, so that you'll have a profession, and you'll have these small towns that are going to be built up again. And these small towns and these individual businesses, the ancient past and the right work and the homeschooling. And I just see it. And you may even have a small schoolhouse, and you may even have a teacher for small things. You may even have that old ways, the good ways, the right ways. Okay, there's a time to have a teacher, there's a time to have a mentor, there's a time to be an apprentice. Okay, but for right now, we've had to throw out the whole system and say homeschool's the way to go. But it's okay to hire a tutor. It's okay to have a professional teach your kid how to do something. Especially if you have a child prodigy who's very good at something. We need mathematicians. We need certain kinds of engineers who engineer properly God's way, so that we don't have buildings that fall apart on people's heads. Okay. Their engineering is an ancient, ancient art, okay? Going back to the pyramids, God showed me that these ancient engineers had better knowledge of mathematics and precision. And even astronomy and the light and the energy than we ever did. And they positioned things for the sun and the moon and the stars like we couldn't even imagine. So your children are going to be child prodigies, and you're going to need to have some of them educated by like a Dr. Frank, because some of your kids are going to be so pure and so righteous that they'll be able to understand things that you can never understand because of the perversion that's been in your brain. And you're not ever going to be able to go past some of the things that your kids are going to be able to go past, because they're going to have a longer life that's pure and holy and righteous. So I thank you for the people who have children, are going to have grandchildren, for the grandchildren that they're praying for, that you're going to set them free from the transgenderism. You're going to set them free from the sexual perversion. They're going to come out of the gaming, and they're going to come out and they're going to say, wow, I want to be on these ancient paths. I want to be outside. You're going to heal the land. You're going to heal the waters. You're going to heal the air. You're going to get these airplanes out of the air. You're going to stop the toxic fumes. I thank you, Father God, that the only fumes that come out are going to be cow farts and horse farts and pig farts and all that stuff, because it's always the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Father God, that you're turning this right side up, that's been turned upside down, that you're healing the soil, you're healing the water, you're healing the land, and we're going to have good food, we're going to have good water, we're going to have good families, you're going to make trees grow so fast, so everybody has enough wood to build houses and have barns, and give us all the CO2 we can have, so the things grow super fast. And I rebuke these people who don't want CO2, because CO2 is aggressive, the biggest thing on the planet, because it makes everything green. And I want you to breathe in the oxygen. I want you all to breathe out that CO2, because where the CO2 goes and the cow methane goes, you're going to have greener grass and greener trees. And so I thank you, Father God, for the CO2. I thank you for CO2. I just rebuke all those people that are cursing CO2. CO2 is life for trees. And the trees are like, wait a minute. That's like saying I don't want any oxygen. Okay. No, the CO2s are like, give me the trees are like, give me the CO2. Give me the CO2 because they go big and they go strong and they have stronger bark and they get stronger leaves. So go next to a tree and go next to a tree and breathe in the oxygen and breathe out the CO2 and hug a tree today. Have you hugged a tree today? Go hug a tree. I thank you, Father God, for everything that you're doing. I thank you for Scott. I thank you for the people watching. I thank you, Father God, for Michelle. I thank you, Father God, for the healing that you're doing and everybody who needs healing. I thank you for my mom. I thank you that she's breathing in and breathing out CO2, that she's going to go breathe on a tree. And I thank you, Father God, that you're doing great things. And I'm going to stop now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to have to stop because I've got a dog that has to go pee.
Do you want to take it pee?
He's pulling at his leashes.
Right
he's
now? Go. This second?
You see that is going to be all over the floor.
Well, I'm just saying. We can just cut it if you want. Or
no,
you can
just
take
keep
the dog
talking.
Pee.
I'll be back in
a minute. Leah's got another. I mean, she's literally like the Energizer. Somebody said the Energizer Bunny has nothing on Leah.
So keep running the word. I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Are you kidding?
Well, what do you
want? You could have let the dog out. Literally, she's been going for 45 minutes. You could have did that before.
He wanted to get it all in.
Scott wanted to hear it all. Okay, yeah. Can I do a commercial?
Yeah, do a commercial.
Go do the potty thing.
You got to sell something?
Yeah, I do. Old School Survival Boot Camp. Okay. This is a big deal. So
RCS24.
Well, not only that, but they're running right now. That we got permission because we were tardy because we were doing an event. This is huge. There's they're giving away a family pass right now. Scott, you're taking the dog's potty.
No, I can't because they're now chewing on their bones. They're finding it for the next.
Okay, fine. Anyway, there's a giveaway for a family pass. It's a $500 value for just Resistance Chicks family, right? And Bard's Nation. Okay, so here's
one for each though, because if Scott can do.
Okay, we can do one for Scott too. We can give too, we can give away two family passes.
Okay, yeah. Everybody, you want to get a? We're gonna have to advertise.
So here's what I need you to.
Too,
here's what I need you guys to do. Okay. And the mods can put this in the chat. OldSchoolSurvivalBootCamp.com. OldSchoolSurvivalBootCamp.com. We're going to do this on the honor system because they're mostly doing it on Facebook, but we're going to do it on the honor system. If you share that link on your social media page, you are entered in. And then I want you guys to shoot me an email. And you can either do it for Bards or for Resistance Chicks, whichever you choose. At massfaith33@gmail.com. MASFAITH. 33@gmail.com. I'll put that in the chat too on both of these on
Tell
every
them
single
again
one of
what
them.
You're asking them to do.
Just share oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com on a social media platform. That is your entry.
And then email us and then say
and then
you did
email
it.
Me that you did it so that we can draw your name on Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So we're going to do a drawing for anybody that shared oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com on a social media platform, and you will be entered in for a pass. To a family pass, which is up to a $500 value. This is May 17th through the 19th. It's the largest homesteading, survival, bushcraft, prepping meet in the Midwest. It is highly popular. We already have a giant group of people from Bard's Nation and the Resistance Chicks family that are going. John and Stacy Barnes, Pastor Devin Neese, Abigail, the Taylor family
I think
is
Pastor
coming.
Devin Neese isn't going to make it.
You're
she
kidding.
She's got to be somewhere, but yeah.
She was going to come. Okay. Well, anyway, there's already a ton of people from Bard's Nation and Resistance Chicks family going, so I want you guys to sign up. Regardless of whether you win the family pass or not, you can use promo code, what's the new one, Leah?
RC, for Resistance Chicks, RCOSS24. RCOSS24, you save 45%.
That's huge because the code prior to that one was 35%.
That's a special code for the solar eclipse.
S24. I was supposed to give that at the thing. That was she literally gave that to us.
Just for the eclipse, right.
OSS. Are you sure it's RCOSS?
It's RCOSS 24. Yes.
Okay. That's not BC boot camp?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Just OSS.
So it's RC Old School Survival 24.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the promo code to get. 45% is ridiculous. They're giving tickets away at that point.
They just want you to come right now.
They just
now,
want you to
really.
come. I don't think they're going to make any money on that because the tickets are already super cheap.
No, they're not making any money
on it. So here's one more time, and then we'll get back to ending the show. Just share oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com on any social media platform, and then send me an email. I'm going to make sure all this information, as soon as I'm finished saying this, I'm going to put it in all the chats right now. Send me an email that you did so, either for Bard's Nation or the Resistance Chicks family, and we will end up drawing two names on Monday night.
Two adults and like three or four kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to have Scott do his drawing on Monday, on his Monday night show, and I'll make sure he has his names. So we'll do them separate. So we want you guys to attend. It's like, I don't know, it's like 185 classes over three or four days. You're camping. It's phenomenal. It's in Hocking Hills, Ohio.
Trey's teaching a class.
Trey is teaching a class on bow and arrows. Leah and I are doing small acreage homesteading, soap making, constitutional money, and constitution for kids.
We're going to do what we can.
It's huge. So we're really excited about it. This will be our third year of teaching classes there. So you want to get there. And if Scott Kesterson lived close enough, he would be there. Every year he'd say, I'm thinking about coming. This year he can't because it's coming so close to in between this event and Bard's Fest July 4th. But it's one of those things that everyone should be a part of. If you want to learn how to butcher a chicken, you want to learn how to butcher a cow, cooking over a campfire, foraging, bow and arrow, axe throwing, like you name it, axe building. I think that they built axes one year. This guy did the blacksmith shop, built, I mean, it's cool. It's awesome. So there you go. That's my commercial that you were supposed to go take the dogs out for.
Yeah, well, they're calm for the moment. We found a Kong ball and we have another chew toy. But the clock is ticking.
Are we done praying? Or Scott, you gonna pray?
Are you gonna pray?
No, I'm not praying after that. That's Leah, mute yourself. Leah, mute your mic. I'm not praying after that. I'm amening all that Leah said.
Amen, but I'm going to add something to it.
Go ahead.
Because, Leah, I got a word which was, had to be, when did I come down here? I came down here yesterday. So my word was on Thursday, or it was yesterday morning. It was Friday morning show. It was very simple, and it had to do with anybody that is dealing with porn, anybody that is trending towards these allurings of children, any of the people that are trafficking kids. And it's a very simple word, and it was repent or die.
Boom.
And then that's it.
Got you.
So we're at a point right now when God's not playing.
No playing.
So repent or die.
I do want to add one thing though, for anybody that is, I know that Leah was going on and on and on, and funny joke, I literally couldn't stop laughing about who put a quarter in Leah. I'm sorry, I'm going to laugh about that all night. But what I kept thinking, in all seriousness, I wanted to come back and I wanted to say to you guys, you have no idea what you just witnessed live. That word that Leah kept giving and that kept coming, and what she stepped into about the trees and even just the destruction of Israel and all of that, like everything that you heard here tonight was one of the most accurate and Holy Spirit led prophetic words that I've heard in a very long time. That was straight up Holy Spirit. So it's not just Holy Spirit for this moment, for this show. We're talking about something that has global implications, and you need to know something about the prophetic. Prophets don't just predict the future. They speak them out so that they come to pass. So the reason why Leah was speaking out that word on tonight's show is so that your confirmation, as you are listening, your spirit saying yes, God needed everybody in Bard's Nation and everybody in Resistance Chicks family that's listening to that word right now to push that word forward and to cause it to come to pass. Okay? This is a very significant global moment that just happened here tonight with that word from Leah. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands the seriousness and the ramifications of that. We're talking about death. We're talking about destruction. We're talking about the church arising. We're talking about you arising in your gifts. We're talking about greater works than he has ever, than he did. He said, greater works than I do, you shall do. We're talking about all that rolled up into one, and that happening in this time, in this hour, in this moment, the week of the total solar eclipse. Mm. Know what you just experienced. That's all I got.
What was that last?
What?
What did you say?
I said, know what you just experienced. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Didn't hear that last week. Throw your hands up like amen.
Sorry, that's all I got. Amen myself.
Okay. No, it's a clear time. I mean, I think that's it's a powerful word tonight, and it's one to go back and re-listen to, and to hear what's being said. That was in the flow, Holy Spirit, and it's for those on that's been listening to me. I mean, it really confirms a lot of what you've been hearing here, and it just confirms to another level of the magnitude in which God is moving. And God is, this is really not a time anymore. We've been talking so much about this, that time is running out. You're not going to get a chance to be a fence sitter. You're going to have to choose a side. You have to choose a gate, wide gate, narrow gate.
Mm, mm.
And with that, you're going to have to make that commitment. And that's where this other word is, repent or die. That's a, it's a two-edged sword on that, because it's, we know that. So let me do it this way. I think this is really interesting. That's the word, repent or die.
Mm.
It was directed at children in a large sweep. So people that are watching porn, this is a time. Can't be giving yourself excuses. We have so many men that are still addicted to porn. You have to make that decision. Step into Christ and repent, and he'll set you free. Or suffer the consequences of trying to deny it or trying to tell yourself some excuse is staying in it. 60% of our pastors are addicted to porn. That is a higher standard, because you're leading a flock. Hear the word, repent or die. It's not a joke. And death could also be death to the church and the pulpit which you stand on. This is a wide sweep, and God's cleaning and shaking. And I have no doubt that what's coming is going to leave, as I said previously before Leah started her word tonight, we're coming to a place where those that are walking within him, he will protect us. But if you're on the outside of him, you will be left in begging for him.
Yep.
And that's literally the consequence of walking in reprobate.
Yeah.
And the reprobate mind.
Time's up.
God
has
let you wander because you chose not to look at him. You chose not to acknowledge him. You chose to pursue yourself. You chose to pursue your me. And there's no more me in this.
Mm.
And this is truly the hour of this, like literally understanding that there is no more me.
Whoa.
This is through the body of Christ. And the fire is raging. And this is literally a sword of fire. It is on fire. And God is bringing it down. For God, it will be to reset things, because at the core of all things are his children. And we're talking the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a nation have just continued to turn our back. We give lip service and do nothing. We believe the media when it tries to tell you, this is one of these things, and God's just on fire about this, is if it's, we say, well, it's 700,000. And then the media says, no, it's only 30,000. And then people say, well, that's okay. It's only 30,000. It's children. It doesn't matter whether it's 1, 10, 10,000, 10 million. It's children doing harm to the little ones. And we're just being apathetic about it. And the ones, you know, to quote Basil Boz, support what I do. And he's one of the most intense child rescue teams in the country right now, doing exclusive domestic child rescue. His word was, support what I do or go to hell. And he didn't mean it like in a slanderous way. He meant literally, you're going to hell if you don't support what we do. And he's right. So this is the time, like that word earlier was, as we move forward here, all things will lead to children. And when we all come to that place, and I'm going to go right back to where Leah was with the kids, and I've said this recently, and I want people to hear this. There's been a number of interviews recently with Muslims who have been in communities, and they're talking openly, and this is what they're saying. They say, we're outbreeding you. We're going to turn this nation into a Muslim nation. We're going to introduce Sharia law. And in each of these interviews, they say, well, that sounds very threatening. And their answer is, you're allowing pulpits to be gay. You're allowing children to be transgendered, and you're allowing pornography to corrupt our schools. What else do you expect us to do? Christians have become weak and apathetic in this nation when we should be the strength of the nation. And God is not going to stand for this. And he's going to bring everybody to our knees to where everybody finds the common thread within the body of Christ. And everybody will face him. And Muslims included, you will not be able to step aside from your own sins. All will face the king. And this is the hour which we are facing. So repent or die. And death, which is interesting, because if you're listening to what the Buddhists are saying right now, we're in the middle of a time right now when we are about ready to see the old world die away and the new world arise. They call it earth, not world, earth. And those that are not able to move forward will simply die. That is literally the Buddhist position right now. So there's a common, there is a common message that is coming across many levels of faith. And though we don't typically do this, when you start to hear the same thing popping up in different faiths, essentially saying a very similar thing, pay attention because God's moving and it's powerful. So this is where we are, a powerful moment. So I totally concur with Leah's word. Good word. Okay. We probably should wrap this up. Dogs are getting antsy. And looks like somebody already peed.
But you have nature's miracle.
Yes.
I feel like this is like some sort of alternate universe where now Scott is doing dogs during the show and we're, and we, because how many times, like legit, this is what happens during our show like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're trying to, I think it's kind of like a competition.
Well, I don't know. I've got a flood over here where there was a pipe. It's not a pipe that's leaking. I will guarantee you that. These two are long overdue to go out. So
Nikki texts me and says, Ryan and Angie for boot camp and her and Jack. Of Bard's Nation is coming to boot camp.
All right. We got to close it out because these two are ready to go.
Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. So go
never
ahead.
Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time and this place for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for coffee in Jesus. Until then or until the next time. God bless. Good night. Thank you. And
out for now.
Have a great evening. Got it.